हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 14, Performance of the Vrindavan Pastimes, page 26, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so powerful that it acts automatically. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. It is recorded in a spiritual account, and in time it will fructify. This is confirmed by the Bhagavad Gita 2:40. Nihabikrama nashosti pratyavayo navidyate swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayata. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has particularly bestowed upon all fallen souls in this age the most potent method of devotional service, sankirtana, the congregational chanting of the Lord's holy name. And whoever takes it through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is immediately elevated to the transcendental position. As Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32 recommends, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. Right, so those who are intelligent, they'll appreciate, they'll understand, and they'll take up the Sankirtana. If one's less intelligent, one will oppose it. But if one's intelligent, then one will see that this is actually... Because we have to remember, it's Lord Chaitanya's age. So one's supposed to be doing what Lord Chaitanya says. It's not that the modern world has the franchise or something. It's Lord Chaitanya's place. So then this is what should be done. And then people complain about that. You know? It's like I was once asking... One devotee was they're a nurse, you know, professional nurse, and they work in hospices like that. So he says, you know, they're, you know, you're coming to give medicine, take care and that. Sometimes they yell at you, sometimes they beat you, sometimes they, you know, like this and that. So, but you know, that's what you have. They're crazy, you know. And so that's the whole thing, is that it's Lord Chaitanya's age. It's his method. And so then, but in administering the medicine, sometimes the patients aren't always as cooperative as would be good.
The word intelligence used in that verse, how is it qualified? Because intelligence, what kind of intelligence is that? How do you get to the level where you understand? I should say probably something.
It was by association. You see, intelligence is the closest thing to the super soul. So the connection of the you can say our connection with, or the main connection you can say of the subtle body is through intelligence to the super soul, because he's chitta, he's consciousness, and so we're a small part of that consciousness. Through intelligence, we can have that connection. So intelligence means that intelligence to be able to appreciate the importance of spiritual matters, the importance of these things. It doesn't mean what's your IQ or other things like that. It specifically means that aspect. And so that will come from piety. Because if someone's not pious, they have to oppose. It's just how the modes of nature will function with them. They're just automatic. Dogs, if they see anything weird, you know, it's whatever environment they're in, for them that's normal. So if anything happens that's out of the ordinary, they have to bark. You know, we're not talking just the regular, you know, another dog walks by, this, that kind of stuff. You know, it's just like if somebody dresses very strange, or there's some strange noise, or there's something, an activity that they've never seen before, they will bark. Like that. So that's just the modes of nature. That's just how it functions. So, of course, I mean, this idea is that, oh, we do Sankirtan and people will be upset and we don't want to upset people and all that. But the point is they'll naturally get upset because it's different, it's weird for them. You know? And so that's the point is that medicine, what child likes to take medicine? They never like to take medicine. But it doesn't mean they don't take it. So that's the aspect, is that the preaching is somehow or another, in some way we try to push it forward. Because the materialists, they have no idea. That's why they're here. And so then Lord Chaitanya, he's giving the medicine. Right? Yes.
If we think about it deeply, then the plan of book distribution by Srila Prabhupada is a genius plan, because Srila Rupa Goswami mentioned that type of intelligence you can develop only by studying scripture.
Mm.
So by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, people develop that kind of intelligence.
Yes,
and then
yes.
They come, and then they can take part.
Yes.
Otherwise it's not possible.
Yeah. Yeah. So the books and associations. So the idea is they take the books and they come to the temple, like that, or we go to them, and so through that, then they're going to move forward. Because in other words, the books are going to tell what to do. Devotees are doing what the books say. So between that combination, it works very well. But even like Prabhu was saying, the books themselves. Like, you know, I told that story, that example of the devotees on the train. I think from Vladivostok to Moscow. You know, and partway through and somewhere, then somebody comes on the train, just straight up from Karmi, and he's selling Prabhupada's books. And the books are photocopied of a book. And so then, you know, the devotees are there, and they see the guy, and they start talking to him, you know, what's this, how it came around? And he said that he found, I think it was in the station, he found a book, the Bhagavad Gita. And he read it, and it talked about how in this age you have to do Sankirtan, and of that, the book distribution, and all that, and it's important. He was convinced. He didn't have anything else. He took the book, went, Xeroxed it, and does that. Then they talked about how there's, you know, the devotees and there's temples. He had no idea. Simply from that one book, he was already preaching. Yeah. Prabhupada said, like, what is it, time bombs. They sit there. Yeah, somebody was just telling me that they, about a devotee that, I think it was their parents or grandparents that bought a book. And it was sitting on the shelf forever. You know, like that. They probably never read it and that, but I think after they had left, whoever was taking care of the estate then gave the book to, I think, a granddaughter or something, and said, you know, that, you know, you would appreciate this, you know, something or another, that connection, something. So then she read it, she became a devotee. Yeah, so I'm sure if you check, every devotee has some far-out story, how they came to Krishna consciousness. So that's the intelligence. It's given by the Lord. It comes through the super soul, through the intelligence there, and so he'll give that intelligence, so we have that interest. Otherwise, he's constantly saying all these things. We don't take them seriously, so we go in whatever direction we want. But the modes of nature are there, and so that's why we have to be very, very careful about taking on these external identities. It means we already come with these identities. Why take on new ones? You know? And so we want to be very careful that we are identifying as servants of Krishna and trying to do. That's the meaning of friendship. You know, is that we try to please Krishna by doing what he would like. Does that make sense? Yeah, so we have to be very careful. Otherwise, if we oppose the Sankirtan mission, then what's the benefit? What benefit will we get? What benefit will anyone else get? Like that. So, yeah. A student of Krishna consciousness must receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Then his devotional service will quickly succeed. This was the case with King Prataparudra. One has to be noticed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and a little service with sincere efforts will convince the Lord that one is a proper candidate for returning home back to Godhead. At first, Maharaj Prataparudra did not have a chance to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but when the Lord saw that the king was serving Lord Jagannath as a menial sweeper, the Lord's mercy upon the king became a solid fact. When Maharaj Prataparudra, in the dress of a Vaishnava, was serving the Lord did not even inquire who he was. Rather, he had compassion upon him and embraced him. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wants to point out that nothing could compare to the Lord's mercy towards Maharaj Prataparudra. Therefore, he uses the word dekha, just see, and Chaitanyara Kripa Mahabala. How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? This is also confirmed by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Yat Karunya Kataksha Vaibhava Vatam Chaitanya Chandamrita 5. Even a little of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy serves as a great asset for spiritual advancement. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement must be spread through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's by his mercy, and then through his mercy, that means then it's the Sankirtan. So in some way, you know, like it's a book distribution through the Hari Nam, through programs, through training, through, you know, Namhat, whatever is the way, somehow or another one has to do. That's the system. One can say so many other things, but that's not the method. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mission is the deliverance of all fallen souls in Kali. Because let's say we do a book distribution. How many people can we contact? Right? Who we do has something very solid. Right? We'd maybe do a program, then a certain amount of, you go to the university, you do a program, a certain amount of people come. But when you do Hari Nam, especially when, you know, we go to places that are busy, hundreds, thousands of people here. And so they all get that Agyata Sukriti. And so if that's done regularly, then after a while they start to become favorable and all that, because the heart's purified. So it has nothing to do with their nature, their thing. You can't. How do you preach to the demoniac nature? Prahlad Maharaj was just nicely talking about the Lord, and his father wanted to kill him. So one could take the point. So therefore, we shouldn't bother anybody. But then the point is that compassion, right? If someone's liberal, then they have compassion on others. And so so giving Krishna consciousness, that's real compassion. Other aspects, that's not compassion. By not preaching, that's not compassion.
In some ways, you could say there are some good sides to democracy, because you can have liberal rights.
Yes, it has its advantage. It has its advantage. It's just like if India had still been kingdoms, there would have been kings who would have allowed and supported, and there would have been kingdoms, let's say, where the smartest, like in Nepal, where we have never been registered there because the Brahmins were smartest and they didn't like us. Or I think same in Singapore. And so then it does have its advantage in that way. You know, so there's some reason that came up to that platform, like that.
Like the devotees who are chanting for years.
Are dogs. Those opposing the Sankirtan. It's very important to them, right? Now they think they're really doing some really serious contribution.
It's not Sankirtan.
No, it's not. It's not. And you see, it's opposed to the Sankirtan. You were saying?
The devotees are doing Harinam in Washington Square Park for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are literally thousands of people who chant and dance.
Yeah, just see this happen. People, the non-believers or the naysayers will say, oh, you can't do this and that. But the point is It's a spiritual element. All souls are spiritual by nature, and you're doing a spiritual activity that then with time, as they get purified, they as individuals will appreciate. Because no one wants... Kids want to go to school, kids want to take medicine, kids want to wear their shoes, kids want to put on their jacket and hat and go out and play in the snow. No, none of these things. So if we just go by, what only do what people feel like doing, then all we have is the society of animals. Literally. That's animal. That's the way they think, or children think. Adults know there's things you need to do. And so therefore then that by doing that, in the beginning people will say this and that, and then it'll go. Prabhupada sat down in Tompkins Square Park, alone, and doing 3 hours of kirtan a day. And then after a while, then he catches a few people, and then like that, next you have a temple. So that's how it works. That's how everything worked. All the original temples, that's how they were all opened. Now we'll tend to, get some funds, get this, that, do this and that. Before, they just went there with nothing, found some place to stay and preached and this, and slowly, and then started the temple. So the point is, it's the nature of the soul to function in that way. And one has to understand that. One has to believe that. If you think it's through social elements that it'll be done, it won't happen. If you're going to socially reform, then you have to bring them, how the social has to be in line with God consciousness, like Lord Chaitanya did. Because otherwise it won't work. It won't move anywhere. Because then we're very comfortable. We don't disturb anybody. They don't disturb us. I'm okay. You're okay. But it's 2020. That's 60 years after this philosophy. We got to move on. No?
North Korea. North Korea. The last frontier.
Okay. So good? Yeah. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mission is the deliverance of all fallen souls in Kali Yuga. Devotees of Krishna must persistently seek the favor and mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become fit to return home back to Godhead. Right, so if you just want a comfortable place here, by devotional service you'll get the best comfortable place. It might take next lifetime or stuff like that. But the problem is you're still in the material world. And it still will carry all of its anomalies. That's the difficulty. 2:14-18. Finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Who are you? You have done so much for me. All of a sudden you have come here and made me drink the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Krishna." The king replied, "My lord, I am the most obedient servant of your servants. It is my ambition that you will accept me as the servant of your servants." Srila Prabhupada. The greatest achievement for a devotee is to become a servant of the servants of the Lord. Actually, no one should desire to become a direct servant of the Lord. That is not a very good idea. Because one is that it will not, if the idea is we're going to please Krishna, it won't give much pleasure to Krishna, being a direct servant. Because the direct servants are already there. It means we're serving, and as the activities are being performed, as he said, under the Samvit potency, to please the Lord, right, in the Hladini. So that means it's going to be through that rati, that attraction, that attachment, and therefore the combination of that with other bhavas in the taste of rasa. Right? So those ratis, there's already leaders in those. So they know best how to please Krishna in those moods. We'll never know. We're jivas, their internal potency. And so we follow them. That's why we're the servants of the servant. That's our, and that pleases the Lord. Done. When Prahlad Myers was offered a benediction by Nrisimhadev, Prahlad rejected all kinds of material benedictions, but he prayed to become the servant of the servants of the Lord. When Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods, Dhruva could have asked for unlimited material opulence. But he simply asked for the benediction of becoming the servant of the servants of the Lord. Right? So even here, even the demigods, it's just praying to them simply to become the servant of the Lord. Right? So we're not worshiping for material benefits, just to become devotees. Kolabesha Sridhar was a very poor man. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give him a benediction, he also prayed to the Lord to be allowed to remain a servant of the servants of the Lord. It's just somehow or another, it just the particular combination of the words. So now I got, you know, Sridhar was a poor man. Yeah, like that, so. Okay. The conclusion is that being the servant of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest benediction one can desire. You can't get better than that. Because if you're the servant of the servants, they're always serving the Lord, you get to always serve them. And that way then you're pleasing the Lord, because they're giving the best service to the Lord and we can serve them. And that way we can give the best happiness to the Lord. And the Lord being happy, that means that's our blessing.
Which is 100% guaranteed.
100% guaranteed. 108% guaranteed.
8%.
Yes. 2:14:19-21. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed some of his divine opulences to the king, and he forbade him to disclose this to anyone. Although within his heart, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew everything that was happening, externally he did not disclose it, nor did he disclose that he knew he was talking with King Prataparudra. Seeing the Lord's special mercy upon King Prataparudra, the devotees praised the king's good fortune, and their minds became open and blissful. Srila Prabhupada, this is a characteristic of a pure Vaishnava. He is never envious if another devotee receives the mercy and strength of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pure Vaishnava is very happy to see a person elevated in devotional service. Right? So just by them being pleased, you see, they themselves were you know, how are you saying? Open and blissful.
Yes.
Right? So that's the point, is that someone's doing service, they're getting a nice opportunity, then we're pleased with that.
Yes.
And that's there. And then if some opportunity comes up for us to do so, then we, of course, take it.
Yes.
So that's the natural position.
Yes.
2:14:22. Submissively offering prayers to the devotees with folded hands and offering obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king went outside. Verses 23-46. The devotees honor prasadam in the garden near Bala Gandhi. 2:14:23-36. After this, Vaninath Rai brought all kinds of prasadam, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted lunch with the devotees. Right? So it was lunch, so that means they start in the morning. It takes hours for them to get on the cart, then they come halfway, and now it's lunch. So the king also sent a large quantity of prasadam through Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Ramananda Rai and Vaninath Rai. The prasadam sent by the king had been offered at the Balaganti festival and included uncooked milk products and fruits. It was all of the finest quality, and there was no end to the variety. There were curd, fruit juice, coconut, mango, dried coconut, jackfruit, various kinds of bananas, and palm fruit seeds, the tall fruit. No? You know the tall fruit?
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, okay. Have you ever eaten them when they're ripe?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't figure it out, honestly.
Yeah.
Why don't they make the pita is made out of that also? The sweet pita tree?
Pita?
Pita, Agra pita.
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 They make it out of that?
Pita.
No, it's generally made out of
pumpkin.
Chalkumra.
No, squash.
Yeah, the white pumpkin.
The white splash.
Yeah, not the green one, not the yellow, the orange one.
They had many varieties, and I thought this might also be one.
That, oh, you probably could.
I don't know.
You probably could.
Many flavors.
But it's, yeah. There were also oranges, grapefruit, tangerines, almonds, dried fruit, raisins, and dates. There were hundreds of different types of sweetmeats like Manohara Ladu, sweets like Amrita Gutika, and various types of condensed milk. There were also papayas and Saraswati, a type of orange, and also crushed squash. There were also regular cream, fried cream, and a type of puri made with cream. Yeah, no, he goes into it. Yeah, well, fried cream is that Krishnagar is famous for that, Sarpuri. They literally deep fry cream. Yeah. Like that. I don't know how it means, I think one time you do it. But traditionally, if you go back, you know, sometime, then any big program, then you know, like weddings or any special program, you always had this Sarpuri. It was considered very high class. But before, now you get it, it's like this, and it's just the cream, that aspect fried. But before, it would be double that thickness or more, and it would be full of pistachios and everything else like that. So that's how it was done before. Now, no nuts. Yeah, you have Sarpuri. There were also the sweets known as Hari Vallabha, and sweets made of Sanoti flowers, Karpura flowers, and Malati flowers. Wow, sweets made with flowers, that's far out.
Maybe the center?
Could be. But I mean, these also, they're like Malati, I don't know about Karpura flowers and that. They're very soft and all that. So you could probably also then cook them with sugar and stuff. There were pomegranates, sweets made with black pepper, sweets made with fused sugar, and amriti jilipi. Oh, probably the amritis. Yeah, those ones. There were lotus flower sugar. Wow. A kind of bread made from urad dal, crispy sweetmeats, sugar candy, fried rice sweets, sesame seed sweets, and cookies made from sesame seeds. Yeah, true. Up to now, it's all been the goddessy, yeah, basically. There were sugar candy sweetmeats formed into the shape of orange, lemon, and mango trees, and arranged with fruits, flowers, and leaves. Wow. There were yogurt, milk, butter, buttermilk, fruit juice, a preparation made of fried yogurt and sugar candy. Have you ever heard of fried yogurt?
You can fry cream, you can fry yogurt.
Yeah. That's interesting. Fried yogurt and sugar candy. I guess, you know, I mean, it's gulab jamun. The North Indian ones, and they fry koa. While in Bengal, they'll fry paneer.
Yes.
And then you soak it in sugar water. So yeah, I guess you hang the yogurt, you make it really thick, then make it into balls, and then you could fry it, and then soak it in sugar water. That's interesting. Definitely, guys. Or at least you can make like a malpoa out of it. Yeah, because fried doesn't necessarily have to be deep fried. Yeah. Yeah, I like this. Okay.
Ideas.
Getting ideas. And salty mung dal sprouts with shredded ginger. So eating sprouts goes way back. But Chaitanya would eat them. Like that. And they think, oh, wow, we're so advanced. We're eating.
And all those decorations. Now so much in fashion.
Yeah. All the things, making all the trees and all that.
Yeah, now it's considered cutting
edge. Yeah. So see, they were already... And they were just sitting in the garden eating this stuff.
500 years ago.
Yeah.
That was meant for eating in garden and all.
Oh, okay.
Whenever picnic takes place.
Picnic, so you take all these things. Lots of variety and like that, yeah. Mung dal sprouts with shredded ginger. Okay, so it has to be with ginger. There were also various types of pickles, lemon pickle, berry pickle, and so on. Indeed, I am not able to describe the variety of food offered to Lord Jagannath. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw half the garden filled with a variety of prasadam, he was very satisfied. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fully satisfied just to see how Lord Jagannath accepted all the food. Srila Prabhupada. Following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a Vaishnava should be fully satisfied simply to see a variety of food offered to the deity of Jagannath or Radha Krishna. A Vaishnava should not hunger for a variety of food for his own sake. Rather, his satisfaction is in seeing various foods being offered to the deity. In his Guru Vastakam, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, Chatur Vidha Sri Bhagavat Prasada Svadvana Triptan Hari Bhakti Sangan Kriktaiva Triptim Bhajatas Sadaiva Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. The spiritual master is always offering Krishna four kinds of delicious food, analyzed as that which is licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. When the spiritual master sees that the devotees are satisfied by eating Bhagavat Prasadam, he is satisfied. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. The spiritual master's duty is to engage his disciples in preparing a variety of nice foods to offer the deity. After being offered, this food is distributed as prasadam to the devotees. These activities satisfy the spiritual master, although he himself does not eat or require such a variety of prasadam. By seeing the offering and distribution of prasadam, he himself is encouraged in devotional service.
Mahashtami says that the devotee want to become spiritual master, then they need to know how to cook.
Yeah, that's good. Or they at least have to appreciate that you know, like that the deities are receiving nice food, that the devotees are receiving nice prasadam. Like that aspect. Because it's a very major part of our movement. You know, sometimes devotees try to be very, very austere. And depending upon the situation, it may be favorable, but in the long run, it's not actually favorable. It makes the heart hard. So they don't eat, they don't want to see anybody else eat. Just as like you see, if someone's on a vrata, they don't like anybody else doing something against, or let's say they are fasting, they won't serve prasad, you know, or different things like that. And so it's not actually favorable like that. I mean, those I've seen that are favorable, they'll be fasting, and they'll be the ones that want to serve prasad. Yes. Right?
It's interesting because, you know, the Bhishma Panchaka seems to be a big thing every year. Papa never spoke about it.
That's what I said. Today you eat carrot halva.
You know,
tomorrow you eat.
We found out that, you know, the Bhishma Panchaka has become a big thing in China among the devotees. My wife's telling me, she's, everybody's calling Bhishma Panchaka. Why? What's the
but,
point?
No, but where are the cows?
Anyway, so she said, for what reason? She said it's because many of them felt they had a very sinful life. Therefore, they need to do sinful things.
Yeah, I mean, these kind of things, then it's a value. But it's not that, but you have to, at some point when you think this is your qualification, or that, then it'll be a problem. It'll get in the way. So that's the point in the Vaidhi Bhakti. These rules are there to enhance or support devotional service. And as long as they do, then they're of value. But if they start to distract from it, and one thinks that these things are more important, then it becomes a problem. Like that. So one has to always be analyzing, you know, why one's doing things and how it's benefiting and all that. And that's a constant aspect, because just like the aspects of varnashram, then it, you know, with maturity and all that, they just become absorbed as supportive activities for Vaidhi Bhakti. Right? You know, it's just like you do all your duties and all that, but you do it all in connection with Krishna. In the same way as the Vaidhi Bhakti, then if it's understood, then it becomes supportive of Rag Bhakti. But otherwise, it can be a problem if you become, especially if you become inimical towards devotional activities. You know, everybody's taking prasad. Oh, this is Maya. No, it's never Maya. It's prasad. It's Krishna. Like that. So one has to be careful like that. You know, especially we see Lord Chaitanya is very happy with this. So that's the attitude. So to see that the deities are eating nicely, the devotees are eating nicely. It doesn't say just the deities are eating and the devotees aren't. Because that happens some places. They cook very nice for the deities and for devotees, and they won't. Oh no, it's being austere. And they're brahmacharis. And, you know, we don't want them falling down. There's a better chance they'll fall down from not having good prasad than they will from having good prasad. Right. Yeah. So it's just part of the process. Prabhupada says chanting, dancing, taking prasad. He literally means that's the movement. And so it's a matter of we do that and we engage others in that and bring in new people in so they can experience that. That's the cultural revolution.
During Srila Prabhupada's time, the qualification for initiation is that you can cook the feast.
Yes.
You can give a class.
Right.
And you can lead kirtan.
Yes, yes.
And now the qualification is that you have to write you have to write two hundred pages test and do this and do that and get recommendation from left and from right and from the middle disciple.
How about this one?
Maybe. So it's highly theoretical. But in practice many don't know. They don't know how to light gas, you know.
Yeah. Means if you hand, yeah. But even that, do they know how to use it? Yeah, because it's nice if we're taking that academics is a thing to professionals are the thing. If we're looking at it from that, but the point is who's happy in the corporate world? No one's happy. You know, a few guys on the top might be rich enough, and when they have a vacation, then they might be a little bit happy. But otherwise, then, you know, but while they're on vacation, someone else comes in and there's a takeover, then they're not so happy. So, mm-hmm. So it's the wrong culture, like that. Bhagavatam says it's a culture revolution. That means you're bringing in Krishna's culture, not being overwhelmed by, you know, the external culture. Because the point is, okay, if you have to write all that, then where's the training for that? Are they training you to write an essay? Is there a class on writing essays? No. Are they taking you, you know, properly through the things, seeing that you're reading, discussing it with you and that? They're not. Then how is that honest? I can't expect something from someone if I'm not training in that or giving them a facility for that. So it's just a theoretical thing. Oh, if we do that, then you know, then it's very nice. Yeah. So one has to be very, very careful about these things, because the point is you check in the test is there, those things, but how much of the time what's on those tests is what's being discussed? You have to go to a special course. And so if right after the course you take the test, then you probably do okay. Because other than that course, who's speaking about these things? Who's speaking about Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya? Who's speaking about pure devotional service? You know? So one has to be very, very aware is that, you know, what it is that you're doing, that's what you are giving to others. That's the fourth stage of the educational process. You hear, you've cleared your doubts. You therefore practice. From that you're getting your understanding. From that that matures into realization. And then in realization, now you teach others to be like yourself. Like that. It's called succession, technically. But, you know, since it's been a topic of discussion for the last so many years, it would appear that no one knows what it is.
But it was like that at the beginning. The devotees, you know, Jamuna, Chaitananda Maharaj, and all came to India. They went back to the West. They set up the standard.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Yes.
Theater.
Yes.
And it went all over the world. How to make a chance for the Dal.
Yes.
They taught everything.
Yeah.
And then, after a few decades, that legacy is not there anymore.
Well, it used to be everyone taught. Then you had a bhakti program and nobody else taught. And now I don't know if they run bhakti programs anymore. So there isn't an education. Well, Prabhupada says the temple's educational center. But that doesn't mean it's a modern inductive, you know, method. You know? It's education by association. Remember, it said everybody, when I joined, everybody in the temple was explaining to you what to do. Everybody. There was no bhakti program. Like that. So within 2 weeks, you knew every rule there was. Absolutely. I mean, the first thing I did when I was, traveling with the devotees, like that. The first thing that was done was one of the preachers, the sixth chapter of Nectar Devotion, you know, the 64 items of devotional service, he went through that whole thing and explained that. So when I got to the temple, I already knew all those things. You know? So is that's where it started. Then Istogosti meant Nectar of Devotion.
Yes.
You know, that's what it was. You go through that, read that, discuss that. That's what it was. Every Ekadasi, Istogosti, Nectar of Devotion. Yeah. So you know, that's then, you know, like you said, it's supposed to be that. Now, if people have done and all, then Prabhupada gave the Bhakti Shastri and those things like that. So that's the things that should be focused on. You know. Otherwise, we make up our own stuff, then, you know, it may not have as much effect. So then somebody who's good at sitting down and writing, then they'll get initiated. And then someone else may not.
Yeah, like we studied rhetoric with devotees, and there was, at the end, there was debate.
Mm.
So the teacher explained that the goal of debate is that those who are watching, those who are giving you, you know, whether you win or lose,
mm-hmm.
you should convince them. It doesn't matter what you represent.
Okay.
The topic doesn't matter at all. It's how convincing you are
right.
in your debates, how
right.
you know, how good you are, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting experience, actually.
Mm.
Although everything was, you know, connected directly or indirectly to Krishna consciousness, but that's the modern approach, because he learned it in the school in Moscow.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how they taught him that.
Yeah. Oh, rhetoric just means to win an argument.
Yeah, win the argument.
But we see is that, and they'll think that they're being logical. But according to Gotama, Siddhanta is the actual goal.
Yeah.
So they're not following logic, actually. You know, they may think
not all the way to the end.
No, but they're only using clever arguments. Logic means that actually intelligently makes sense. It's based on authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what it is. Doesn't matter. You know, that's how lawyers work. Those who are better at rhetoric, they win. It has nothing to do with whether they're right or not.
But we've noticed also, if you use Panchanga Nyaya,
yeah,
you always win.
Yeah, of course, because they can't. The rhetoric doesn't teach that.
Yeah, they don't know.
No. You know, they'll have parts that just focused on what wins an argument. That's all. You know, so they'll bring out their Nigrahastan, and then you'll make, you know, bring up their, you know, well, what about this point you said? You know, then somehow or another Nigrahastan isn't so Nigrahastan anymore. Yeah. 2:14:37-45. There then arrived 5 or 7 loads of plates made of leaves of the Kaitaki tree. Each man was supplied 10 of these plates. And in this way, the leaf dishes were distributed. So these must be the kind of, you know, the leaf plates. Like that, the big...
10 each.
Yeah, means everybody takes 10 and you just give them out to 10 people.
Yes.
And then, you know, others take 10 like this. And this way, everything's going.
Not if the person has 10 plates.
It depends. The brahmacharis might, but I've never seen anyone with more than maybe 3. But, you know, 2 is pretty common.
Okay. Depends on the size.
Sorry?
Depends on the size.
Yes, it depends on the size. But otherwise, you just hand out 10-10 like this, and you keep handing out and giving it out, and then it's all gone. So very easily distributed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood the labor of all the kirtan chanters. Therefore, he was very eager to feed them sumptuously. All the devotees sat down in lines, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally began to distribute the prasadam. But the devotees would not accept the prasadam until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it. Swarup Damodar informed the Lord of this. Swarup Damodar said, "My Lord, please sit down. No one will eat until you do." At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with his personal associates and had every one of them fed very sumptuously until they were filled to the necks. After finishing, the Lord washed his mouth and sat down. There was so much extra prasadam that it was distributed to thousands. So whoever is going to be sitting there, and devotees, then they'll distribute to everybody else who's around. Like that. So that's the thing. You know, it's like before. They used to have the Sunday program, feed everybody what's left over, then, you know, stick it in the truck, drive down to where all the homeless people are or like that, and then distribute to them. You know, so they'd be waiting. You know, I know every Sunday, then, you know, something good's going to come along.
Unless all the fish are on and off, you go down to the river and just dump everything.
Then the fish get it.
You don't get busted in the cups.
But, I mean, everybody's, everything's in that, those canals, no?
We used to dump the sweet rice in the Seine River in Paris.
So what? All just pure devotee fish.
Just half a day, you don't touch it, it goes off.
Wow.
20 liters.
Half a day, don't touch it. But so that means you have half a day to finish it.
Yeah.
So everybody should get down to work. No? You know, used to have, did you have those big bowls? Stainless steel bowls? We all had big bowls like that, you know. So. Yeah, this has to do at least like 3 or 5 of those, right? Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda, his personal servant, called for all the poor beggars who were unhappy due to their poverty and fed them sumptuously. Observing the beggars eating prasadam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted Hari Bol and instructed them to chant the holy name. Right? So you get them. So the we see is here's the culture is that you have these ways that you know who's there is that you bring the plates who's there then they pass they give them out and that and everybody it's not that one guy two new bhaktas have to distribute everything like that it's just very quickly everyone sits down in lines that sitting in line not standing in line to get fed you know so they're sitting in lines like the servers stand. You know, the modern thing is you stand and the servers sit, you know. So, you know, no, it's not. So like that. And then Lord Chaitanya, the leaders are serving like that. They're taking care. You see, but originally Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, Vanamali Rai, like that. So they're taking care of these things. Maharaj Prataparudra is seeing that it's happening. Not, oh, he's so busy managing the kingdom, you know. That these are the important things. Kingdom is running, that's your standard stuff. You know, so these special things are done. So this is the culture in that. And then when they take prasad, you see those who have done lots of service, you feed them really nicely. Not that, oh no, but that's materialistic, they did all this for Krishna, and then if you feed them like this, then it's, you know, it's karma. And, you know, we don't need these philosophies. And when you feed them, they also, Lord Chaitanya sat with his, you know, close associates, so those people you know, like that, because then you have a nice rapport while you eat, because it's supposed to be pleasant, and that, and even then they discuss and that and eat until everybody's full up to the neck. That. So,
also, not many devotees understand that the prasadam is an opportunity to exchange rasa. It's very rasic function.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you read in CC, that's what it is. It's an exchange of rasa. It's not just food giving and taking.
Yeah, well, it's taken as that of the senses and the, you know, it's maya, and so it's, you know, being austere. So they tend to take on these Some of the, you know, like sometimes in the West, you have the Christian monks, they'd be very austere, things like that, and do those things. So there is the aspect of austerity, you know, that's in your day-to-day life, but when these things, and taking prasad and interacting and all these things, then that's not necessarily known unless you come from families that do this as a tradition. You know, because nowadays, who gets together? Before, you know, I mean, you had the big Christmas or the Easter or Lent, all these different kinds of things like that, or, you know, you have all the high holidays, or you have, you know, local holidays. But these seem to be less and less important as people are more and more, you know, how you say, not so much personally interacting with people. You know, you're you know, how you doing it through the social media like that. You know, so yes, everybody on social media, especially Instagram, they all share what they're eating by taking a picture of it and sending it to you, but you never get to eat it.
Even on Facebook, just before you stop breakfast, take a photo, put it up.
Hey, check this out. Yeah, it's nice with close friends, that is, but everybody else is like, you know, what did it? Like this, then they distribute, you know, see that everybody gets, then they even feed the beggars and all that. It's not that, oh, the beggars, just give them something. No, feed them nicely also. Like that. Yeah. You see, Govardhan Puja, even the dogs get fed. Right? Yes.
Whereas during common prasad time, what is recommended? Either hearing Kirtan or Krishna book, or let devotees talk with themselves? This is a question not answered many times.
Not answered, but Prabhu just answered it. Lord Chaitanya just answered it. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami just answered it. In other words, devotees sitting pleasantly talking and all that and enjoying the company while they take prasadam, that's the standard. Now, if everyone's just going to talk nonsense or things like that, then yeah, nobody talks and you read Krishna book or Chaitanya Charitamrita or whatever it is that you want to read. But that's only because they don't know how to associate. That's not the standard. Right? Standard is pleasant talks of devotees enjoying it being. It's sadhu sangha. You know, it's Vaishnav seva. You know, you're feeding them and this and that. Because in that, everyone's talking, no one's talking, no one's seeing everything. You just have a few people serving prasad, a good chance. Maybe a few senior are, but generally it'll be junior people. And so it's not a standard. It works. But it's not the standard. The standard is senior people are there, senior people are serving. Like I remember, I think I mentioned that. In Vrindavan, I would serve every day the servants, the lunch and all that. And you know, they'd be generally, you know, fairly serious or talk amongst themselves like that. But with me, it was, you know, more serious. Then after some time, then Nitya Chand Maharaj came. So he was the president in Mayapur. And so then when he came, then he wanted to serve prasad. And so I'd just assist him. So I'd bring the things and get the stuff, and if he needs something, run around for that. And he'd directly serve. And I noticed Tamal Krishnamurti was much more happy and interactive and, you know, like that. So then afterwards, I asked him why that. He says it's because, you know, he's a senior person. So, you know, he'll know the mood, he'll know all these things. You know, that mood of surrender is much greater, like the king sweeping, like that. And so you're just saying it's much more rasa, much more taste. But there's this idea of, no, oh, seniority, so the you know, whoever joined last, then they have to serve. You know, so that kind of stuff, it's it becomes a prestigious thing rather than association. You know, it's like Henry VIII sits at his table, it's raised, and everybody else sits here, and then down at that end, it's you can pick up these kinds of things, but it's not the Vaishnav way of doing things. It's not even the Vedic. Even you go to people's places and around, they don't. It's not like that.
Elsewhere, it will be mentioned that Mahaprabhu, actually being the top rasik, he enjoyed twice. First, he enjoyed when he looked at the devotees, how they take prasadam.
Right.
And then he sat down and then enjoyed it again.
So yes.
It's a complete rasa. And you see, and then you can sit peacefully and then enjoy it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Double.
Yes, yes.
Double,
yeah. Double, yeah. No, so that explains why I can remember, and now that you mention it, I remember some times when you know, we'd be serving and all that, you know, whatever the devotees, the senior devotees, like this, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj would be, he'd come around the corner, he'd just watch for a while, and he had this big smile on his face. Then after that, he'd come and sit down and then talk with everybody. This kind of scene, he took this very seriously. Srila Prabhupada. In a song, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur chants, Miche, Mayara Vase, Jato Beshe, Kacha Habu Dubhai, Jiva Krishna Das, E Vishvas, Karle Ta Arar Dukho Nai. O people, why are you being captivated by the waves of the ocean of nescience? If you would immediately accept Lord Sri Krishna as your eternal master, there would be no chance of being carried away by the waves of illusion. Then all your sufferings would stop. But Krishna conducts the material world under the three modes of material nature, and consequently there are three platforms of life, higher, middle, and lower. On whatever platform one may be situated, one is tossed by the waves of material nature. Someone may be rich, someone may be middle class, and someone may be a poor beggar. It doesn't matter. As long as one is under the spell of the three modes of material nature, he must continue to experience these divisions. Right? They'll always be there. We may try to create a classless and that, but only devotees is classless. It doesn't mean that one doesn't have a division of work, but as far as social status goes, it's classless. Everyone's devotees, so there's no difference there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised the beggars to chant Hari Bol while taking prasadam. Chanting means accepting oneself as the eternal servant of Krishna. This is the only solution. Regardless of social position, everyone is suffering under the spell of Maya. Therefore, the best course is to learn how to get out of the clutches of Maya. How to do so is stated by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mamchayo vyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailingly in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. One can overcome the spell of Maya and attain the transcendental platform by agreeing to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Devotional service begins with Shravanam Kirtanam. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised the beggars to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for elevation to the transcendental position. On the transcendental platform, there's no distinction between the rich, the middle class, and the poor. Right? Like that. So it's interesting that those from the middle class or that are projecting that we should, you know, follow what the middle class is doing or the rich is doing, you know, and distance ourselves from the poor. But that's not what Lord Chaitanya is doing.
Yes.
Right. That's just modern social context. It means that middle class means intellectual middle class, educated middle class, not general middle class. So that kind of thing is not the point. It's by being servant of Krishna, that's what that makes everything work. So it doesn't matter then. Like that. Does that make sense? Because one will never be equal to these people. Whoever you are, there's always someone better. And in that world, that matters. But when one's a devotee, then these things don't matter anymore. 4:14:46. As soon as the beggars chanted the holy names, Hari Bol, they were immediately absorbed in ecstatic love of Godhead. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed wonderful pastimes. Srila Prabhupada. To feel the emotion of ecstatic love of God is to be on the transcendental platform. If one can keep himself in that transcendental position, he will surely return home, back to Godhead. In the spiritual world, there are no higher, middle, or lower classes. This is confirmed in Ishopanishad 7. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhud vijnanataha tatrako mohako kashoka ekatvam anupashyataha. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Oh, that's the Tatrako Moha Kashoka. Verses 47 to 65. So I looked up the blanket and I was thinking, where did he go? It blends in with the other blanket. You know, I think.
Merged.
Hmm? Merged. Merged in, yeah. What did it come? Urban camouflage.
Camouflage, yeah.
Yes. Verses 47 to 65. Lord Chaitanya and his devotees deliver Lord Jagannath to Gundicha. 2:14, 47 to 65. Outside the garden, when it was time to pull Jagannath's cart, all the workers called Godas tried to pull it, but it would not move forward. When the Godas saw that they could not budge the car, they abandoned the attempt. Then the king arrived in great anxiety, and he was accompanied by his officers and friends. The king then arranged for big wrestlers to try to pull the cart, and even the king himself joined in. But the car could not be moved. Becoming even more anxious to move the car, the king had very strong elephants brought forth and harnessed to it. The strong elephants pulled with all their strength, but still the car remained at a standstill, not budging an inch. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the news, he went there with all his personal associates. They then stood there and watched the elephants try to pull the car. The elephants, being beaten by the elephant goad, were crying, but still the car would not move. The assembled people cried out, "Alas!" At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu let all the elephants go free and placed the car's ropes in the hands of his own men. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the back of the car and began to push with his head. It was then that the car began to move and roll along, making a rattling sound. Indeed, the car began to move automatically, and the devotees simply carried the ropes in their hands. Since it was moving effortlessly, they did not need to pull it. When the car moved forward, everyone began to chant with great pleasure, all glories, and all glories to Lord Jagannath. No one could hear anything else. In a moment, the car reached the door of the Gundicha temple. Upon seeing the uncommon strength of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people were struck with wonder. The crowd made it a tumultuous vibration, chanting Jai Gaurachandra, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Then the people began to chant, "Wonderful, wonderful." Seeing the greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prataparudra Maharaj and his ministers and friends were so moved by ecstatic love that the hair on their bodies stood on end. All the servants of Lord Jagannath then took him down from the car, and the Lord went to sit on his throne. Subhadra and Balaram also sat on their respective thrones. There followed the bathing of Lord Jagannath and finally the offering of food. While Lord Jagannath, Lord Balaram, and Subhadra sat on their respective thrones, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees began to perform Sankirtan with great pleasure, chanting and dancing in the yard of the temple. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. And all the people who saw him were also flooded in the ocean of love of Godhead. In the evening, after finishing his dancing in the yard of the Gundicha temple, the Lord observed the Aartik ceremony. Thereafter, he went to a place called Aitota and took rest for the night. Verses 66 to 105. 9 days of pastimes in the Jagannath Vallabha garden. 2:14, 66 to 96. For 9 days, the chief devotees, headed by Advaitacharya, got an opportunity to invite the Lord to their homes. During the 4 months of the rainy season, the remaining devotees extended invitations to the Lord for one day each. In this way, they shared invitations. For the four-month period, all the invitations were shared among the important devotees. The rest of the devotees did not get an opportunity to extend an invitation to the Lord, since they could not get one day each. Two or three devotees combined to extend an invitation. Yeah, that's better than, you know, going breakfast, lunch, dinner, this. These are the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of invitations. After taking his bath early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to see Lord Jagannath in the temple. Then he would perform Sankirtan with his devotees. By chanting and dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced Advaitacharya to dance. Sometimes he induced Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, and Achyutananda to dance. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged Vakreshwara and other devotees in chanting and dancing. Three times daily, morning, noon, and evening, he would perform Sankirtana in the yard of the Gundicha temple. At this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt that Lord Krishna had returned to Vrindavan. Thinking this, his feelings of separation from Krishna subsided. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always thinking of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he remained personally merged in this consciousness. There were many gardens near the Gundicha temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees used to perform the pastimes of Vrindavan in each of them. In the lake named Indradumna, he sported in the water. The Lord personally splashed all the devotees with water, and the devotees surrounding him on all sides also splashed the Lord. While in the water, they sometimes formed one circle and sometimes many circles, and while in the water, they used to play cymbals that imitate the croaking of frogs. Sometimes two would pair off to fight in the water. One would emerge victorious and the other defeated, and the Lord would watch all this fun. The first sporting took place between Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, who threw water upon each other. Advaitacharya was defeated, and he later began to rebuke Nityananda Prabhu, calling him ill names. Sarup Damodar and Vidyanidhi also threw water upon each other, and Murari Gupta and Vasudev Datta also sported in that way. Another duel took place between Srivas Thakur and Garadhar Pandit, and yet another between Raghava Pandit and Vakreshwara Pandit. Thus, they all engaged in throwing water. Indeed, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya engaged in water sports with Sri Ramananda Rai, and they both lost their gravity and became like children. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the exuberance of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, he smiled and spoke to Gopinath Acharya, "Tell the Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai to stop their childish play because they are both learned scholars and very grave and great personalities." Gopinath Acharya replied, "I believe that one drop of the ocean of your great mercy has swelled up upon them. A drop from the ocean of your mercy can drown great mountains like Sumeru and Mandara. Since these two gentlemen are little hills by comparison, it is no wonder that they are being drowned in the ocean of your mercy. Logic is like a dry oil cake from which all the oil has been extracted. The Bhattacharya passed his life in eating such dry cakes, but now you have given him the drink. You have given him drink. You have made him drink the nectar of the transcendental pastimes. It is certainly your great mercy upon him." After Gopinath Acharya finished talking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and, calling for Advaitacharya, made him act like the Seshanaga bed. Lying down on Advaita Prabhu, who was floating on the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated the pastime of Seshashayi Vishnu. Manifesting his personal potency, Advaitacharya floated about on the water, carrying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After sporting in the water for some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his place at Aitota, accompanied by his devotees. Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, and all the other chief devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took lunch at the invitation of Advaitacharya. Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati. Took lunch at the invitation of Advaitacharya. Whatever extra prasadam was brought by Vaninath Rai was taken by the other associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the afternoon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Gundicha temple to visit the Lord and dance, right? So this is chanting, dancing, taking prasad. Literally, that's what he did for 9 days. In the afternoon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Gundicha temple to visit the Lord and dance. At night, he went to the garden to take rest. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to the temple of Gundicha and saw the temple, saw the Lord. He then chanted and danced in the yard for some time. Accompanied by his devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the gardens and enjoyed the pastimes of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that this Vrindavan Vihara, the pastimes of Vrindavan, does not refer to Krishna mixing with the gopis or the transcendental mela or parakya rasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vrindavan Leela in the garden of Jagannath Puri did not involve association with women or with other people's wives in the fashion transcendentally demonstrated by Sri Krishna. In his Vrindavan Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conceived of himself as the assistant of Srimati Radharani. When Srimati Radharani enjoyed the company of Krishna, her maidservants were very pleased. One should not compare Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vrindavan Vihara in the Garden of Jagannath to the activities of the Gauranga Nagaris. Mm-hmm. Right? That's just wrong. Yes.
So basically, he was just meditating on Sri Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan.
Yeah, but as an assistant.
He wasn't performing that way.
Yeah, but as an assistant. Yeah, he wasn't necessarily doing. They might be chanting. There might be that. You know, something was going on. You see, they were taking their baths. So he's saying that that's what's meant by him doing this. Yes. Sorry?
Was reading to him.
Yeah, and then he takes the mood as the servants of Vrindavan. Because that's what it takes. Because she can give the highest pleasure to Krishna. So then if you assist in her service, then that's going to give the most pleasure to Krishna. And since her servants are already there, then we serve those servants. You know, so when we say we're servant of the servant, that's then what we're being. 2:14:97-105. There were multifarious trees and creepers in the garden. They were all jubilant to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, the birds were chirping, the bees were buzzing, and a cool breeze was blowing. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced beneath each and every tree, Vasudeva Dutta sang alone. As Vasudeva Dutta sang a different song beneath each and every tree, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced there alone in great ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Vakreshwara Pandit to dance, and as he began to dance, the Lord began to sing. Then devotees like Swarup Damodar and other kirtan performers began to sing along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being inundated with ecstatic love, they lost all consideration of time and circumstance. After thus performing pastimes in the garden for some time, they all went to a lake called Narendra Sarovar, and there enjoyed sporting in the water. After sporting in the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to the garden and accepted prasadam with the devotees. So there would be the morning at the temple, the kirtan, then they go into the gardens, then they would, you know, have kirtan there, but it appears those kirtans specifically, you know, particular songs are being sung and all that, and then Lord Chaitanya was absorbed in these moods, and there's the chanting and dancing. Then they would take their bath, then have their lunch, and then again in the evening then. For 9 continuous days, His Lordship Sri Jagannath Dev stayed at the Gundicha temple. During this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also stayed there and performed the pastimes with the devotees that had already been described. The garden of his pastimes was very large and was named Jagannath Vallabha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his rest there for 9 days. Verses 106-243, the Hara Panchami festival. 2:14. So this went on for the whole 9 days, right? And then within that, now the Hara Panchami, right? Because when you're discussing one particular thing, you can take that all the way through. Mm-hmm. Then if there's some other interesting thing, then you go back and then you talk about that one. It doesn't have to be that everything's in a chronological order. you know, some are very attached to that idea, and you know, and that, you know, even the usage of the word, it has to be, you know, exact historical chronology. You can't use a chronology to just mean one thing after another. So it means you're tasting this thing, then you're going back and tasting that, and then tasting this. And there's an order how it goes through. That cannot be used. It has to be, you know, they're attached to it being used in its own, you know, mundane, inductive, academic method. You know, so that's why sometimes people, oh, they're saying this, but others say that. But we don't care. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining how the pastimes are going, and this is what happens. And so we accept this. He's the authority. And others, you know, we don't care.
Also, rasa goes like this.
Everything goes like that. Like it's that. Never like that. Even the academics sit and talk. They can't talk in a straight line. They can't. They're coming like that. Oh, yeah, and then this and that, and they go all over the place. It's just, you know, they're like anybody else. But it's just, it's an intellectual rasa. So when you're explaining rasa, they don't get the taste. So therefore, then, oh, hey, what happened here? So like that. It has to. Rasa, that's the way it moves. Want it closer? So, mosquitoes are less?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But smoke is in the air, they won't bite. They may fly around, but they're too bewildered. They're just, you know. Yeah. Stuff like that.
They are bewildered, they don't know what to do.
They can't sense the smell.
Huh?
They actually approach us because of the bodily smell.
Okay, so it masks that. Okay. But also, I think it's hard for them to breathe.
It's also hard for us to breathe.
Oh, okay. After a while, you get used to this smoke.
Yeah.
Like that. Cow dung smoke, you get used to. Wood smoke, other things, it's not, you can't, like coal, you can't really get used to.
Yeah, it's very strong.
Yeah, it's very accurate. But this is not... doesn't.
It's really difficult with the fan. And the fan blows.
Oh, yeah, then you just get the whole... get the, you see how the thing's going. Uh, 214, 106 to 107. Knowing that the Harapanchami festival was drawing near, King Prataparudra attentively talked with Kashi Mishra. Tomorrow will be the function of Harapanchami or Lakshmi Vijaya. Hold this festival in a way that has never been held before. Srila Prabhupada. The Harapanchami festival takes place 5 days after the Ratha Yatra festival. Lord Jagannath has left his wife, the goddess of fortune, and gone to Vrindavan, which is the Gundicha temple. Due to separation from the Lord, the goddess of fortune decides to come to see the Lord at Gundicha. The coming of the goddess of fortune to Gundicha is celebrated as Harapanchami. Sometimes this is misspelled as Hara Panchami among the Atibadis. Another, how you say? Another group of unfortunates along with the Gauranga Nagaris. The word Hara means to see, and refers to the goddess of fortune going to see Lord Jagannath. The word Panchami means the fifth day, and is used because this takes place on the fifth day of the moon. Yes, so then that means that the Ratha Yatra then is on either the Purnima or Amavasya. So that means then that happens on that day, so then the next day will be Pratipatan, so then on the Panchami, then it will happen. 214, 108, 113. King Prataparudra said, "Hold this festival in such a gorgeous way that upon seeing it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be completely pleased and astonished. Take as many printed cloths, small bells, umbrellas, and chamaras as there are in my storehouse and in the deity's storehouse. Collect all kinds of small and large flags and ringing bells. Then decorate the carrier and have various musical and dancing parties accompanying it. In this way, decorate the carrier attractively. You should also double the quantity of prasadam. Make so much that it will even surpass the Ratha Yatra festival." Right? Because this You have to show who's boss here, right? Yes, yeah, so he couldn't figure it out, right? You know, before they were having their debates, he didn't win, so now he's lamenting. Like that.
His poetry.
Yes, his poetry. Yeah, to them, yeah, they are. They're singing like that. Also, the donkeys, when they bray, to them, they're singing. You know, so that's why dogs, they can't, well, why are you upset? You know, they're singing. Come on.
Not only the dogs.
Hmm?
Not only the dogs, they don't understand sometimes.
Yeah. Arrange the festival in such a way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may freely go with his devotees to visit the deity without difficulty. Right? So it should be all there, that all this is there in great pomp and very, very big arrangements. But at the same time is that Lord Chaitanya and his associates should be able to get in and take darshan and all that. Here's the backup for the mosquitoes. In the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his personal associates with him to see Lord Jagannath at Sundarachala. Srila Prabhupada, Sundarachala is the Gundicha temple. The temple of Jagannath at Jagannath Puri is called Neelachala, and the temple at Gundicha is called Sundarachala. 214, 114 to 133. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal devotees returned to Neelachala with great eagerness to see the Harapanchami festival. Kashi Mishra received Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great respect, and taking the Lord and his associates to a very nice place, he had them seated. After taking a seat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear about a particular mellow of devotional service. Therefore, mildly smiling, he began to question Sarup Damodar. Quote, although Lord Jagannath enjoys his pastimes at Dwarka Dham and naturally manifests sublime liberality there, still, once a year, he becomes unlimitedly eager to see Vrindavan. Pointing out the neighborhood gardens, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all these gardens exactly resemble Vrindavan. Therefore, Lord Jagannath is very eager to see them again. Externally, he gives the excuse that he wants to participate in the Ratha Yatra festival, but actually he wants to leave Jagannath Puri to go to Sundarachala, the Gundicha temple, a replica of Vrindavan. The Lord enjoys his pastimes day and night in various flower gardens there. But why does he not take Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, with him? Srila Damodar replied, my dear Lord, please hear the reason for this. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, cannot be admitted to the pastimes of Vrindavan. In the pastimes of Vrindavan, the only assistants are the gopis. But for the gopis, no one can attract the mind of Krishna. The Lord said, using the car festival as an excuse, Krishna goes there with Subhadra and Baladev. All the pastimes of the gopis that take place in those gardens are very confidential ecstasies of Lord Krishna. No one knows them. Bara, they put those traditional bells. Since there's no fault, very confidential ecstasies of Lord Krishna. No one knows them. Since there is no fault at all in Krishna's pastimes, why does the goddess of fortune become angry? Srub Damodar replied, it is the nature of a girl afflicted by love to become immediately angry upon finding any neglect on the part of her lover. Well, remember, we're seeing that in Bharat Muni was saying that. That's just how the rasa works. While Srub Damodar and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were talking, the procession of the goddess of fortune came by. She was riding upon a golden palanquin carried by four men and bedecked with a variety of jewels. The palanquin was also surrounded by people carrying umbrellas, chamara whisks, and flags, and it was preceded by musicians and dancing girls. The maidservants were carrying water pitchers, chamara whisks, and boxes for betel nuts. There were hundreds of maidservants, all attractively dressed and wearing valuable necklaces. In an angry mood, the goddess of fortune arrived at the main gate of the temple, accompanied by many members of her family, all of whom exhibited uncommon opulence. when the perception, yeah, because Vrindavan is very simple in everything, you know, and that, so she comes in great opulence like that. When the procession arrived, the maidservants of the goddess of fortune began to arrest all the principal servants of Lord Jagannath. The maidservants bound the servants of Jagannath, handcuffed them, and made them fall down at the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune. Indeed, they were arrested just like thieves who have all their riches taken away. Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Jagannath starts his car festival, he gives assurance to the goddess of fortune that he will return the next day. When he does not return, the goddess of fortune, after waiting 2 or 3 days, begins to feel that her husband has neglected her. She naturally becomes quite angry. Gorgeously decorating herself and her associates, she comes out of the temple and stands before the main gate. All the principal servants of Lord Jagannath are then arrested by her maidservants, brought before her, and forced to fall down at her lotus feet.
Right.
Yes.
The goddess of fortune coming to the gate of Gundicha, is it a deity?
It appears so, that there's a deity that comes.
It's a deity. The thing.
Yeah, because it said the palanquin, she's going on that. Yeah. I would expect on the palanquin carried by 4 people, it won't be a big deity, but it's probably one of, you know, that he has there, and there's those Lakshmis at his feet, so it may be one of them come, or both of them, or, you know, because it says she comes with relatives, so.
Yeah. The pandas who carry them, they have to be the most happiest.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they go in great opulence and all that. So that's the, you know, just showing off. You know, you're going to this simple place, but, you know, see what we have. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.